Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews. It is Twitter Friday, so you can submit your questions using hashtag Live at 4. We are going to play Let's Face It, and joining me today, as always on Fridays, is Mike Prosciutto of the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Yes, it is. A very happy Friday.
Hashtag it's Raiders week.
All right, let's take a look at today's practice report to see who's in, who's out for Sunday's game. Marcus Wheaton, we knew about. Richard Gordon with the toe, he's been ruled out. And everybody else you see up on the screen is probable, which, yes, there are a lot of names, but I will say, guys, it's good that they're probable. There's not these doubtful and questionable people.
Yeah, and they're not only probable, but they have been practicing. So both Thursday and Friday, all of those guys listed there as probable were also full participants. So it seems like that, I don't know, this might be the most healthy this team has been, Mike, going into a game. Even the opener, I don't remember having all hands on deck to this degree.
You know, and with the exception of Maurkice Pouncey, as healthy as you could hope to be going into week 8 and game number 7. Injuries have been a big story since we got to St. Vincent's College, but since the Steelers have left St. Vincent, they finally have started to get a little healthier. A lot of it has to do with that guy, Heath Miller, not just in the lineup now, Labs, but up to speed, playing ball the way Heath Miller plays ball.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a big security blanket, I believe, for Ben Roethlisberger as well.
Speaking of Heath Miller, we have a Twitter question from E.C. Wilkinson. Wants to know, with Heath Miller, says he's a cornerstone to the success between 0% and 100%. Where would you say he's at right now?
Health-wise?
Yes.
I don't know that there's anybody 100% who's in the National Football League, especially a guy who has played as much as Heath Miller. I would put him, in the 90s.
I agree with you. He might not be as fast or as quick as he was before, but let's be honest, he wasn't all that fast or all that quick before.
Right.
When he can do that, that's good enough. What more do you need?
And he can still line up on the end of the line of scrimmage and turn a defensive end or, seal the corner for Le'Veon Bell to get around it. Whether Heath Miller is, what he was in 2005 physically, probably not, but he's a lot farther ahead of the game in terms of experience, understanding, and savvy.
We have another health question coming in on Twitter. This is from Anthony Pachea. He wants to know, well, we did tell him already Jarvis Jones' status. He wants to know, do you think he'll play like normal, or do you think he'll be splitting time with Jason Worlds more than usual?
I think he starts, and, he will play the way he would have played last week had he not been ruled out by the concussion. I just really believe that Mike Tomlin sees Jarvis Jones as a guy who is around the football a lot for a defense that needs to find a way to get more takeaways and splash plays. You know, Jason Worlds has not been a poor performer by any means, but there's just something that seems to be a little bit special about Jarvis Jones when it comes to being around the football, getting his hands on the football, those kind of things. And I think the Steelers are looking to try and capitalize on that whenever possible.
Yeah, I think some of that will be dictated by the offense. If the offense can possess the football, then that there are less defensive snaps necessary, so maybe you don't see as much substituting. But I agree with you on Worlds, too. I think he's held up well all season. He's played a variety of roles, and he's done what he's been asked when he's been asked to do it, and he's done it pretty well.
Yeah, I have not noticed Jason Worlds in a negative way. Like when something bad happens and you put the binoculars on it, who messed that up? It has not been Jason Worlds to this point.
All right, well, let's talk about Lawrence Timmons. I caught up with him after practice today to talk about that cast on his left hand in the past 2 days of his practicing fully, basically.
I mean, I played within the game before. Pain is a part of this game, and you know what you signed up for when you play football. So, I'm a linebacker. I love the physicality of it, and I'm just excited to go out there, play with my teammates, and just always do what I can do.
What are the restrictions just with the cast been like this week? You've been full in practice, but is there anything that's kind of a little difficult, or maybe you feel the pain?
I do feel the pain, but like catching the ball is probably going to be a little bit more difficult. I have to probably do more one-handed attempts now than two. So other than that, you know, it's still the same.
Dick LeBeau did say he has good hands and he does like to lobby to play wide receiver as well, but I think we'll leave him at linebacker this week, guys.
Pretty good arm, too.
I was just going to say, as opposed to catching it, I've seen him throw it, and he can get it down the field, let me tell you that. I mean, last year, it was Lawrence Timmons and Byron Leftwich always in the finals of the who can throw the ball the farthest on the Friday after practice competition.
Well, let me correct you there, Labs. It was Lawrence Timmons and last year the quarterback from Ohio State, Troy Smith, in the finals of who will get beat by Byron Leftwich in the who can throw it farthest competition.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the Steelers' defense, and we'll start by taking a listen to Dick LeBeau, who talked a lot about the secondary, specifically starting with Shamarco Thomas and his recent play.
I think he's growing. He's a physical guy. That's what we liked about him, and he's getting more comfortable in the defense, and you're seeing some of that physicality show up. He made several really, really strong plays, and I'd say he's on schedule. You know, he's a young player, but I don't worry about him when he's in there. I know he's going to go wrong to some plays because he is new, but he's going to be a good football player.
What do you think of Willie Gay's performance against the Ravens?
Willie Gay's been playing good for us ever since we've had him, even going back before we didn't have him. And I don't know how that came out, but it's not quite right before he left us and came back. I didn't know Yogi Berra was still around, but he's playing well, playing consistently, and he played well in the Baltimore game.
Just when he came back after the year away, you were just looking for that guy who's been around, that the dependability that you could call on him if you needed him to start or whatever role that you were looking for out of him?
Coach Mike says often, your tape is your resume, and he had good tape when he was here. He had good tape when he was in Arizona. We knew he was a good man. We had lost a corner, or were in the process of losing a corner, and he definitely fit us. I was glad that Mike brought him back.
Two of the biggest, I don't want to say surprises, but good things that have been happening with this defense other than Lawrence Timmons, Labs?
Cam Hayward, I really think, has come into his own truly as a 3-4 defensive end. I mean, he is a guy who I believe, you know, very shortly is going to become Aaron Smith-like in this respect before people watching this show want to go crazy on me. Aaron Smith was one of the few 3-4 defensive linemen that the Steelers had who could make plays beyond just holding the point, being, you know, a part of the group that made it very difficult to run the football. Aaron Smith, one year, had 8.5 sacks. He could make plays on the football, those kind of things. I think Cam Hayward is getting to that point very rapidly. And if I had to pick something else, what Dick LeBeau was saying about William Gay, I think that this guy is really a dependable cornerback, both in terms of playing the ball and supporting the run. He is a willing, he'll mix it up in there with the physical aspects of the position, you know, which not a lot of cornerbacks, you know, like Deion Sanders, really like to do.
All right.
I kind of like Shamarco Thomas along those lines too, Labs, when we're talking about what's getting better for the defense. Because the Ravens went three wide so often, Shamarco played more defensive snaps than he had played previously. You see some of the physicality that he brings, and I think he's starting to catch up and join and be in stride with some of the younger players that we're seeing really start to develop the next wave for this team, the future core of this team. I'm talking about guys such as, I'll throw Kelvin Beachum in there, David DeCastro certainly, Le'Veon Bell certainly, Jarvis Jones, Cam Hayward. He's still a relatively young guy who hasn't started a lot. Vince Williams is getting in that conversation. There's some other guys on the periphery.
Steve McClendon.
Maybe Cortez Allen.
Yeah.
But you can really envision Shamarco Thomas starting next year and giving you what you want on that back end for the next 10 or so years.
All right, let's move on to the Oakland Raiders. Yesterday, Ike Taylor entertained us talking about the black hole, and today he gave us a little bit of his report on Terrell Pryor.
Just 6'6", can run, mobile, he's big, has an arm, He's progressive every week that he plays, and you're starting to see why he's the starting quarterback. Having a guy like McFadden as his running back, they ran a pistol at Arkansas. Pryor ran a little bit at Ohio State, so it's a good mix-up. Got some receivers that are up and coming, that are learning, that are developing. Got a tight end that's developing. So he got some good weapons, and you can tell they're starting to gel and click week after week.
You know, Missy, Mike Tomlin was talking about what is required as a defense to deal with a quarterback like Terrell Pryor, and he likened it to when he first came into the NFL as Tampa Bay's defensive backs coach, and Tampa Bay was in the same division as Atlanta, which at the time had Michael Vick as the quarterback. And Mike Tomlin said, you know, when you're preparing for a guy like that, your instinct is, you know, you're trying to contain him. You're trying to contain him. You don't want him, you know, to get outside and the containment break down your defense that way or go on a long run. He said, but what you cannot forget while you're containing is you also have to do what they call constricting, which means, you know, you don't want to just, as a pass rusher, if that is your assignment on a particular play, you don't want to just be kind of standing there, you know, reading the quarterback and trying to keep him in the pocket. You have to continue to try and squeeze the pocket and keep the pressure on the passer so that, you know, he's not just able to stand back there and pick you apart. I think that a great example of what Mike Tomlin was talking about is Kansas City right here. We're watching it. You see how they didn't let him, the outside guys contained him, but the inside guys got there with pressure too, and they sacked him 10 times or some ridiculous number like that. But this is what, you know, the Steelers want to do against Terrell Pryor on Sunday. And
what they don't want to have him do is that all he has to do is escape one time. He's like a great running back in that regard, Bob. You can stuff a guy, and if he goes 60 yards to the house on you on carry number 19, what good did the first 18 do in terms of the defense winning? Terrell Pryor's probably not going to go 80 yards, but he can move the sticks. He can make big plays. And as part of that, he can also, you mentioned, don't let him pick you apart. You saw that highlight near the goal line against San Diego where he pulled up and found the guy in the back of the end zone. When he first got to the Ohio State University, this is a guy who would drop back, look for one guy. If it wasn't there, boom, see you later. I'm taking off and running. He does not do that nearly as often now. He can go through his progressions. He can throw the ball with some accuracy. Pretty good developing player. This is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, and, you know, whoever happens to be the end guys on the Steelers pass rushing, you would think normally it would be Lamar Woodley on one side and either Jarvis Jones or Jason Worlds on the other, but, you know, sometimes it might be different guys. They cannot take an inside move and leave that flank exposed. You have to be more disciplined. It might be harder to try and get to Pryor around, you know, the end, but you have to be there to keep him inside. You have to keep him contained, but then also, you know, gradually make the pocket smaller until you get him on the ground.
And part of the reason that's so critical is the defensive backs aren't going to be looking over their shoulder. At least they're being coached not to look over their shoulder. Right. And see if he's running or not. They're supposed to be covering their guy. So if you're chasing somebody all over the field and he takes off, you might not be aware of it if you're a DB until he's already gained 20 yards. So discipline, discipline, discipline on the pass rush.
Pryor is the Raiders' leading rusher. And Joel DeVera wants to know, do you still think the Steelers need to worry as much about Darren McFadden this year compared to last
year? Yes, 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 absolutely yes, because he is still the most dynamic runner of the football that the Raiders have. And if the Steelers, you know, are not careful with Darren McFadden, all Terrell Pryor will do is take the snap and hand him the ball. And if that is happening, the Steelers will be losing. It's that simple. I mean, this is a guy, Darren McFadden, to me, Mike, he brought the Raiders back, even though it was only in the first quarter. He brought the Raiders back in that game last year. First play of the game, Ryan Clark, I believe, intercepted the pass. The Steelers go down, stick it in the end zone. First play from scrimmage. Here we go right now. It's on the scoreboard. And I don't know that the Raiders really kind of thought that they were going to win, but they were sure pretty confident after this. And you cannot allow this guy to do those kinds of things. He is their best offensive player.
And we have seen the Steelers' run defense give up the big splash play this year. I think they've played pretty well most of the time, but Matt Forte went 55 yards against him. Adrian Peterson went, what, 60?
70.
60, 70, yes, in yeah. London. Probably 70 with the exchange rate. it has happened, and until it stops happening, they should be playing wary that it could happen again. Defense is all about consistency, stopping the run. I'm going to repeat myself here. If you can stuff a guy 18 times and he beats you on the 19th carry, what you did the first 18 times becomes meaningless. So I think the Steelers can play run defense. What I want to see them play is more consistent run defense that isn't quite as leaky as it's been to this point.
And I think that what will happen in just about every carry for Darren McFadden is there will be an opportunity for someone on the Steelers defense to make the tackle. And if you miss that tackle, you got problems. So, you know, whether it's a linebacker, a safety, whatever it might be, when based on the design of the play and the design of the defense, you know, about 3 yards maybe beyond the line of scrimmage, there's going to be an opportunity for a Steelers defensive player to step up, make the tackle, and hold it to a short gain. If he does not do that, you're going to see, you know, Darren McFadden's newest touchdown dance.
All right, and talking about the Raiders secondary, Labs, you said you just got their status report for Sunday's game, and one of their main guys is out.
Yeah, starting strong safety Tyvon Branch is out. The Raiders have ruled him out of the game already. So, you know, Tyvon Branch doesn't show up much on the statistics, 9 tackles, you know, 1 sack. But, you know, he is a starter for them. So whatever, you know, they wanted to do in their sub-packages on defense, they're one guy short.
Okay, we have time for one more Twitter question. This is from Tyler McMakin. He wants to know, do you think we will see more of the hashtag Wildcat and hashtag option plays this week? Hashtag effective, hashtag smart, hashtag live at four.
Mike Tomlin is not ruling it out. What he did rule out is Le'Veon throwing the ball. He did say somebody would have to be really, really wide open. But he thinks that it's a fairly easy play to have incorporated into the Steelers offense, because in terms of the blocking for it and all of that, it's just pretty much a running play. And he says Le'Veon did it in both high school and college, so it's not like you have to really work a lot extra on it in practice to get it in the games. You know, we'll see. I do believe that something is going to have to happen in terms of how the Steelers use the Wildcat. They can't run, you know, just the same 3 or 4 plays out of it and not do anything else, because defenses will catch on to that. And then, you know, there's no element of surprise and it's easier to stop. But I'll tell you what, Le'Veon's skill set in terms of his patience, picking the hole, then his ability to accelerate and hit it up in there, I mean, he's perfect for it.
Well, one of the things I like about it is it gets him the ball right away and gives him a chance to make a quicker read. I also like the way they do the orbit motion with Antonio Brown. Something the defense has to respect, and he ended up the ball, I think, at least one time.
Yes.
In the Baltimore game. But here's what I don't like about the Wildcat, Labs, and here was the difference between the Michigan State Wildcat and the Steelers Wildcat. When the Michigan State quarterback jogged out to the sideline and lined up at wide receiver, he was not, to my knowledge, making $100 million, and he was not the franchise player. And, Ben, if you're going to do that again, keep your head up, because you can take a shot at the quarterback when he's out there, particularly on a running play. If I'm a strong safety and I want to go get a clean shot at Ben Roethlisberger, hey, I'm just taking out a blocker. It's within the rules. It's a free shot.
And, and another little tip for Ben, you know, he's such a competitor. Did you see him come down and try to make that block? That
try
time?
To block, yeah.
Well
don't,
you know,
do that either.
Don't do that either. Yes.
Leave it alone.
All right, it's Friday, so it is time to play Let's Face It. Let's meet our first guest for today.
You know who I am. If you don't, you just haven't been paying attention since 1969. I'm Joe Green, and I'm here to remind you that there was a time when Steelers Raiders made Steelers Ravens in its present form look like a Friday afternoon tea party social. We played each other with pure hate, with vengeance, with violence, with bitterness. And we played each other with the Super Bowl at stake on most occasions. We met in the playoffs in 72, 73, 74, 75, and 76. The last three of those were AFC championship games. You want to talk rivalry? Mike Tomlin tried to educate his players this week about what this rivalry once meant. Put on my tape. You'll find out.
Hi, I'm Jack McNeil Jr. I happen to be the offensive line coach here for the Steelers. This is my first year, and I'm telling you people, why did you not warn me before I took this job that you have so many injuries on your offensive line every year? I mean, I'm telling you, I have aged so much this year that I'm feeling like Jack McNeil Sr. already. I mean, we are starting now to put it together. I mean, I lost my best player 9 snaps into the season. The 2 tackles that everybody told me we were going to be using this season, I don't have either of them right now, or didn't last week against the Baltimore Ravens. Gee, and their defense isn't very good. I'm doing the best I can. I think we're stabilizing some things a little bit. Kelvin Beachum certainly has turned into be quite the acquisition for us, and thanks to Mike Tomlin changing Guy Wimper's name to Abdullah, I think I got a tough guy to help me out at right tackle if I need it.
How you doing, Pittsburgh? Lawrence Timmons here, and yeah, I have a broken left hand. That's why I'm holding up my popsicle stick that has my head attached with my right hand, because I don't want to stress out my left hand. But let me tell you, I'm playing some pretty good football the last couple weeks, and there's been a difference in the Steelers' defense because of it. We're not just getting them on the ground all of a sudden. We are getting them on the ground forcefully. Remember when Mike Tomlin drafted me? He called me a running hit guy, said I had the RH factor. I have been running. I have been hitting. I oohed and aahed the crowd at MetLife Stadium with my ferocity. I had 17 tackles against the Baltimore Ravens, and I think they only ran about 60 plays. So we are starting to get it done. Larry Foote says I'm playing angry, and I should continue to do so. My linebackers coach, Keith Butler, says that I have kind of a potential defensive player of the year skill set, as does Lamar Woodley. We need to start showing up a little more often. I'm going to try to get it done against the Raiders. Something about them honks me off, too. See you Sunday.
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Ben Roethlisberger. Of course, you recognize me. And, you know, I just wanted to explain something. When I first came here in 2004, you know, the late, great Beano Cook at the time was saying how if you watch local television news, it'll just rot your brain totally.
God.
And I am really, really starting to get on Beano's bandwagon in this respect. I mean, I do my regular thing every Wednesday in the locker room. And this past Wednesday, I get the questions about this Forbes poll about the most disliked athletes. I mean, this is all these TV guys could come up with to ask before we play the Raiders. We're trying to turn our season around after an 0-4 start, and I get hit with, do you have any opinion on being fourth in the most disliked players poll? First of all, this poll done by Forbes, I mean, what did they interview, 1,000 people? So that makes it some sort of definitive statement on this. And let me just point this out, too. Tom Brady was on the poll, too. Why do you think people might dislike him because he's a multimillionaire married to a beautiful supermodel who lives in a gigantic mansion? I mean, really. This is all you got? Local TV news? You can't come at me with anything better than that? I think you can. Do better next time.
Ben, I think people dislike Tom Brady because he went to Michigan, but my question...
Good point, Mike.
You and Antonio Brown are starting to hook up like no quarterback and receiver ever have previously in this franchise's history through the first 6 games. Can Antonio Brown catch 120-plus passes, and can he do it the way he does it? Is that good enough to give this offense the dynamic element it needs?
Well, I don't think if Antonio Brown catches 120-plus passes, the offense, the Steelers' offense is going to be what it needs to be or what it wants to be. You know, you mentioned Michigan, so I'll mention that other college, that land-grant university in that state, Michigan State. That guy that we got from there, Le'Veon Bell, he is something that really can help us and help me do what I need to do. You know, when I was at my best and in seasons when the team was at its best, I didn't have to throw the ball 40 times a game. If we can get back to that, I can be extremely accurate, productive with fewer opportunities, and that's part of what makes me the great player that I am.
Okay, that will do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live at 4. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy, and for all these other guys over here, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next Monday for a wrap-up of the Raiders.
Hate the Raiders!
The only good thing about my job is I don't have to coach my guys to block this guy over here.
I hate the Raiders.
You hated offensive linemen, too.
Everybody should hate the Raiders.